Penguin Random House Audio presents A Month of Sundays, 31 Days of Wrestling with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John by Eugene H. Peterson. Read for you by Fred Sanders. All scripture quotations in text, unless otherwise noted, are taken from the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. All chapter epigraphs quote The Message. Introduction. Eugene Peterson was quite concerned about the language we use between Sundays. He insisted on a continuity of language between the words we use in Bible studies and the words we use when we are out, for example, fishing for rainbow trout. He constantly urged others to counter the reduction of language to God talk, language that is severed from a God-created and God-saved world. Language that is depersonalized and functionalized. The dreaded God talk. Yes, dreaded indeed. Lucky for us, Reverend Peterson led by example, not simply between Sundays, but on Sundays too, in his preaching. We were beyond fortunate to have acquired a considerable chunk of Eugene Peterson's writings, including a portion clearly labeled Sermons. Most of this content reflects his long tenure as pastor of Christ Our King Presbyterian Church in Bel Air, Maryland. Some of this was organized and arranged into one of his last books published before his death, As Kingfishers Catch Fire. Some of this content, but not all. What you hold in your hands is a sampling of the but not all. A Month of Sundays is exactly that. A Sunday sermon or homily or message, or whatever you'd like to call them, for every day of the month, drawn from the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Common sense in the current world of publishing would caution against a collection of sermons, especially 31 of them, even if in abbreviated form. Such an offering could easily end up nothing more than a bound bunch of depersonalized and functionalized language. But remember, these are sermons from a man allergic to the dreaded God talk. A Month of Sundays is also the title of a work of fiction by author John Updike. His is the story of the Reverend Tom Marshfield, guilty of sexual sins, sent west from his Midwestern parish to a desert retreat dedicated to spiritual renewal. As part of his rehabilitation, Marshfield is required to keep a month-long journal where he lays bare his soul, his past, and at times, his present. Updike's work of fiction and Peterson's bundle of sermons couldn't be further apart. Yet, dedicating 31 days to reading and pondering and possibly even journaling around these perspectives on the Gospels could be a form of personal spiritual renewal, maybe even rehabilitation of the soul on some level. After a month of Sundays, it is within the realm of possibilities that you might find yourself in a state of mind similar to Reverend Marshfield's at the conclusion of his stay. Gratitude is the way he gets us when we have gnawed off a leg to escape his other snares. Gratitude, a frame of mind and heart far removed from the dreaded God talk. Finally, a word about structure. Many of these sermons are spread out over more than one day. When you encounter an opening scripture passage, that's where things begin. When you arrive, a day or so later, at the word Amen, that's where the particular reflection ends. This was in an attempt to make the content manageable for a daily reading, and in each case, we believe it did not dilute the strength of the message in any way. In fact, we found each day's portion was, like grace, sufficient. You will also notice a strange rhythm in the first two entries from Matthew. They're short, almost clipped, outline-like. That reflects the documents used to create this collection. In other words, that's what Eugene Peterson's sermon notes reflect. After those 2 days, the other entries slow down and take their sweet time. You'll see. The Waterbrook Editorial Team. Matthew. Day 1. Transition. The family tree of Jesus Christ, David's son, Abraham's son. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had Judah and his brothers. Judah had Perez and Zerah. The mother was Tamar. Perez had Hezron. Hezron had Aram. Aram had Amminadab. Amminadab had Nahshon. Nahshon had Salmon. Salmon had Boaz. His mother was Rahab. Boaz had Obed. Ruth was the mother. Obed had Jesse. Jesse had David. And David became king. David had Solomon. Uriah's wife was the mother. Solomon had Rehoboam. Rehoboam had Abijah. Abijah had Asa. Asa had Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat had Joram. Joram had Uzziah. Uzziah had Jotham. Jotham had Ahaz. Ahaz had Hezekiah. Hezekiah had Manasseh. Manasseh had Amon. Amon had Josiah. Josiah had Jehoiachin and his brothers. And then the people were taken into the Babylonian exile. When the Babylonian exile ended, Jeconiah had Shealtiel. Shealtiel had Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel had Abiad. Abiad had Eliakim. Eliakim had Azar. Azar had Zadok. Zadok had Akim. Akim had Eliad. Eliad had Eleazar. Eleazar had Mathan. Mathan had Jacob. Jacob had Joseph, Mary's husband, the Mary who gave birth to Jesus, the Jesus who is called Christ. There were 14 generations from Abraham to David, another 14 from David to the Babylonian exile, and yet another 14 from the Babylonian exile to Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. Matthew summarizes close to 2,000 years of history, vividly and succinctly, in the opening verses of his gospel. His method is to simply call the roll of significant names. To a people familiar with the names, it was a highly effective method for reviewing a rich history. History, for the gospel writers, was not the scholarly pursuit of determining dates and listing events. It was a personal genealogy, a remembering of their ancestors, God's people. Matthew arranges the names in three groups, outlining history in three parts. From Abraham to David, verses 2 to 6. This is a period of formation. God establishes the nation of Israel in Abraham and the fathers, delivers them from Egyptian bondage in Moses, leads them into a land of promise in Joshua and the Judges, and demonstrates his kingship, sovereign rule over them in David. From David to the deportation to Babylon, verses 6 to 11. This represents a period of rebellion. God's rule is disputed. The nation becomes divided. The kings fail to demonstrate God's rule, and the people go after other gods. The prophets attempt to call the people back to their origins. From the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, verses 12 to 16. This reflects a period of waiting. The Hebrew people lose their political identity and become people in waiting. They understand themselves as God's people more accurately, and their expectancy for the Messiah grows and matures. However, in many ways, this is an obscure and dark time. Still, we know enough about it to know that it was full of intense longing for God's coming again. So, a question for you. If you could use a time machine to place yourself back into Hebrew history, which of the three periods would you choose to live in? Why? Amen. Day 2. Birth.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?